Well, good morning. Happy Sabbath, brethren. Brethren, it's accept. The word at the center of this message, accept, accept. It's spelled A-C-C-E-P-T. So not accept. That's a wrong pronunciation of a different word anyway. Accept, so you do, you know, just a play on words here. Accept. You do what I say. Think about that. Anyway, yeah, not that one. That's a correct pronunciation of the wrong word. Accept. So not accept. Not that one. Not exception. An exception or exceptional. None of those. Nor exceptions. Again, not that. Have I confused you yet? What is he talking about? It's accept. The word is accept. Again, it's spelled A-C-C-E-P-T. Accept or accepting or acceptance. Either of those are the ones. So what does it mean to accept A-C-C-E-P-T or to be accepting? Are you an accepting person or not such an accepting person? Am I? Is accepting much of a biblical topic? Why am I even mentioning it? Is it a topic at all that applies to the Bible? What does the Bible have to say about it, if anything? Are we to be accepting or are we not to be accepting? What's our go-to? Our first response, what's it supposed to be? Is it in the Bible? What does God's word have to say about it? So what does God's word have to say about it? And as we go, it's possible that some of you will listen and say to yourselves, I don't accept that. That's okay. I accept that. So first, before we get into answering any of those questions, by show of hands, and this is a question more for more senior members, have you heard a message on this topic before or ever? And if so, when was the last time? It's really a question for everyone. It's just that our senior members can go back farther in their memories. And I don't mean acceptance, before you raise your hands, I don't mean acceptance that God extends to us. No, I mean, does it apply anywhere else in our Christian lives? That's the message, that's the topic that I'm asking about. Have you heard a message on that, where it applies elsewhere besides what acceptance God gives to us? Yes, okay, one person. That's about what I kind of expected. Okay, well, in case you didn't already know, it's not one that we cover very often, to say the least, but we're gonna dive into it. We're gonna dive into it during the limited time I have accepted to speak here at this time. Limited time, but I think we can still cover it in an acceptable manner. Accept. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 15, and we'll start in verse 5. Romans 15, starting at verse 5. 15 and verse 5. Now, he says, now, Paul says. I love how he says that. Saying, listen up, make sure we get this. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. And skipping down to verse 7, wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Receive one another. This is the backbone scripture of this message. Receive one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. But you're probably thinking, that doesn't make it very clear. God's word, that's not talking about acceptance. Except, it's not clear, is it? Different accept word there, I mentioned. What does this passage from Romans have to do with accept, A-C-C-E-P-T, accepting or acceptance? Well, it'll help if we define the word, which is the topic, so let's do that. And feel free, if you like, if you have your smartphones, if you like, you can just follow along. I'm going to go right to Merriam-Webster, and it defines the word this way. The first verse in, first definition says, to receive something offered willingly. To receive. Now let's go back to Romans, verse 7 of chapter 15. Wherefore, receive or accept you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Brethren, to accept is to receive. To receive is to accept. Hopefully that's clear now. Acceptance is all about the act of receiving. Let's go back to the definition. We're going to dive deeper. Next listed there in Merriam-Webster, it says to be able or designed to take or hold, to give admittance or approval, to endure without protest or reaction, to regard as proper, normal, or inevitable, to recognize as true, to make a favorable response, to agree to undertake, to assume an obligation to pay, to take in payment. All that includes, and no matter what it is, it involves receiving someone or something. Back to verse 7. Wherefore, receive you one another. He's saying to accept one another. As Christ also received, accepted us to the glory of God. So wherefore, accept you one another as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Brethren, there are no exceptions. It's clear. It should be. Wherefore, accept you one another as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. So what does acceptance look like? What does it look like to accept one another? What does it look like among long-standing church members, those that are long in the faith? What does it look like? What does it look like among long-standing and short-timers, those that are young in the faith? What does it look like among old alike? What does acceptance look like among young alike? What does it look like in a mixed group? What does acceptance look like between the pastor and the congregation and vice versa? What does it look like? Should someone brand new walk through the door? What is acceptance in that case? What does it look like when we have difference of thoughts, actions, ideas that the Bible doesn't specifically have anything to say about? What does it look like in that case? What does it look like? I can tell we're all thinking. I thought a lot about it, just putting this message together. I think we're kind of getting the picture. It's a lot of acceptance. In all cases, it looks or it should look the way Christ accepts us. How he accepts us. That verse again, wherefore accept you one another as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. To the glory of God. We accept one another and Christ has already accepted us. And we do so to the glory of God, God's glory. So let's dive a little bit in here. How did Christ receive us or accept us? Just some more questions. Did he, for example, ask God the Father and say, are you sure? No, he didn't do that, thankfully. Or did he look at us and go, oh no, not that one. That is not going to work. No, he didn't do that either. Again, thankfully. Did he have a sit down with us to make sure we understand God's way perfectly from the very get-go? Again, thankfully, no, he didn't do that. Or even after the fact, does he ever show us unacceptance at any time? At any time, does God show us that? Does Christ show us that? Let's answer that one by turning to John 6 and verse 37. John 6 and verse 37. Another very clear, succinct couple scriptures, a scripture here. All That's everyone that the Father gives me, Christ is saying here, shall come to me. In other words, he receives. He accepts. And him that comes to me, I will in no way cast out. All those that the Father gives me shall come to me. Them shall I accept. And him that comes to me, I will accept and in no way cast out. No way let go. Brethren, that's what acceptance looks like when Christ shows it to us. It's complete. We come as we are, and hopefully we have enough self-awareness to know that we're very, very flawed. We have a lot of baggage. We have a lot of wrong ideas, practices. In short, we got a lot going on, don't we? We come from all walks of life, from all parts of the earth, from all cultures, from all peoples, from all tongues, from everywhere, with innumerable differences, too many to even comprehend all of those differences. But in all cases, we are all accepted when God brings us to Christ. We are received into Christ and Christ in us. We're not perfect, not by a long shot, so we're going to mess up a lot, and we do. We sure do, don't we? But do we at least understand what acceptance is looking like with one another? It should have some look and some feel similar to how Christ accepts us. We know this. I'm not saying anything that we haven't thought about. We just maybe haven't thought about it in that word before. And brethren, whose church are we? Can we claim ownership of this church, this congregation? Let's read that in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18. Matthew 16 and verse 18, Jesus states very plainly. He says, "And I say unto you that you are Peter, and upon this rock," of course, Christ is talking of himself, "I will build my church." Christ says it's his church. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." It's Christ's church. We all belong to Christ. We're all bought and paid for. We don't own ourselves. We certainly can't lay claim to anyone else, nor anything, money, property, etc. We and everyone belong to Christ. We know this. We already know this. I mean, we know it. We're simply to accept those God has brought to Christ to build his church with. That's what he's saying here. No fear to be had of what Christ is doing. No fear. Last week, if you were here for the Bible study from Acts, we read about Judas, who betrayed Christ, betrayed him unto death. He was even for a while counted as one of the disciples, was he not? We know that. And what did Peter say to the church about it? He said it had to be that way. It had to be that way. God knows best. No fear. Christ is the head. He's building his church. He bought and paid for us with his own blood. He's received. He's accepted us. And he's not going to let us go. He decides. So the question is, do we receive, do we accept one another? I submit to you, that's a very, very big, a very, very important question to ask ourselves and to make sure we're doing. Because if the answer is no, know that any of one of us are not in the same way as Christ accepts us, also accepting each other, then what does that mean Christ will in turn do with us? Wouldn't that mean Christ would not also then accept us? I want to dwell on it. It's not a pleasant thought, but in John 12 and verse 48, he says, "He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." And another answer from Christ also in Matthew 25 verses 40 and 41, again, just to drive the point home. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, either acceptance or non-acceptance, you have done it unto me. But if it's unacceptance, then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. So brethren, let's make sure to always work at being acceptable people in the image of God. That verse again, Wherefore accept you one another, as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. To the glory of God. Brethren, finally, what are we to do when one of our members is doing something that actually is wrong? Because it does happen. It is actually against God, breaking one or several of his laws. Actually, that would be something that's not acceptable, right? What are we to do then? Are we to accept the person or people even in that case? Well, actually, yes. Yes, we are. We are still to be accepting, but accepting to a point, right? I think we know this. Let's go in Scripture, please, this time go with me, Galatians 6 and verse 1. Galatians 6, and we'll start in verse 1. Brethren, if a man or woman be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, therefore, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So what we're reading here is saying to go to our brethren when necessary, when we see they're at fault, and we're to go with an accepting approach, though. An approach that shares in the responsibility of working to overcome that fault. We need to accept that responsibility. And of course, the person at fault needs to also be accepting of the help. It goes both ways. We all need to be accepting for it to work. But if the person at fault doesn't accept, well, then the process unfortunately breaks down. And we're back to having to ask, what will Christ's response be with that person if any one of us does not accept his way? Again, a succinct answer from Christ. He states it in John 12 and verse 48, and also in Matthew 25 verses 40 and 41. Our default as the people of God is to be accepting people. And when, and only when, we ultimately have to unaccept because someone is not accepting God's way, that's where we unfortunately have to go. But not because we want to or choose to, but because we're forced to. That's why Christ says to do short, simple, and sweetly to accept. But if our default is not one of acceptance, rather focusing on just holding on, maybe, then we make an assumption that we understand perfectly. When maybe we do, but maybe we don't. And if we don't, then how can we be open to accept change and understanding where we need to? Something to think about, maybe. I, for one, do not claim to understand God's way perfectly. I'm very much a work in progress. I'm sure you already know that. And so, therefore, I need to make sure I'm always open and accepting to working to God's working in me and you all helping me with that. Brethren, accepting, it's a big deal. Being acceptable people, it's a big part of being a Christian, even if we haven't heard it much. It's all through the Bible. It's literally about how we are to treat others. It's to be our default. We can't get away from it. Being like Christ is being accepting. He accepted us, and he accepted our brethren. Christ wants us to get it as he does. Let's spend more time thinking about it and understanding it. It's a very, very big deal. That verse again. Wherefore, accept you one another as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. To the glory of God.